You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob. I'm not sure where you're going with that, but I'll play along.
Okay.
It is episode... He's in a mood. It's episode 690, and we are really glad that you're hanging out with us. Hope you're having a great week. Getting a lot of flying in. Hopefully it's not too cold where you are. I know a lot of the people in our community are talking about like just the gloves they're wearing and how they're already going to fly. Yeah. I mean, they're going to continue to fly, right?
I think it's...
Cold or no cold.
You know what?
It's the drone you spirit.
What's the current temperature outside?
It's probably, what, 50 degrees?
It's 48 degrees outside.
Burr. 48 is not burr.
No. It was actually a balmy run this morning. 43 degrees.
Wow.
Perfect running weather.
Wow. Wow. Your lungs didn't pop?
They didn't pop.
Wow.
Nope.
Yeah, woke up in Denver last week at Airworks, and it was like 28 degrees, and I was like, yeah, I'm not sure I want to move up here.
No, thank you. Let's go to Phoenix.
Got a nice high
today.
Let's
just stay in Albuquerque.
71 degrees here today. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, beautiful.
So, yeah, we got a mapping class coming up, in-person mapping class. And good news for everyone out there, we are going to have a schedule of new in-person classes coming out. So, from subject tracking to advanced cinematography to advanced mapping. All of those are going to be on a regular schedule, so you can actually plan for them and go to them, and it should be a good, fun time.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we're going to spread those out around the country a little bit. I mean, probably do most of them here in Albuquerque, but we would like to spread out a little bit.
You know, I haven't been to Charleston in a while.
In a while.
It's a beautiful city. Let's go to Charleston.
Is that easy to get to?
That's a Southwest flight.
There you go.
Anywhere Southwest flies, I'm in.
All right. Done.
I should probably actually get that credit card. Rack up those points and get some free flights.
You should.
Anyway, guys, today our question is brought to you by our friends at Colorado Drone Chargers. They're a good group of guys. If you haven't met John, he's one of those people that he just works his booty off to make sure that you get what you want. Just go to coloradodronechargers.com. Use discount code DRONEU8. But here's the question. What if you don't have somewhere to plug in, Rob? What if you're out at a job, you're flying a ranch, mm-hmm. you're doing some vegetation management, maybe you're flying some LiDAR, I don't know.
Maybe you're just on the beach.
Maybe you're in a place, yeah, that 100-foot, you know, extension cord just doesn't reach. It's 10
right.
feet too short,
mm-hmm.
and you are too lazy to plug in that cord. No. Let's say that you literally are on a little safari adventure, or maybe you just took a hike in the hills, and you realize... that your batteries aren't charged. What are you going to do?
Well, you're going to use, most likely...
a Drone Max battery.
Absolutely.
So you guys got to check out myenergen.com. That's myenergen.com. And check out their batteries because they've got three different batteries. The M10, the A40, and the P40. So if you're flying Phantoms, the P40 is for you. I would recommend the A40, though, because it's got... different chargers for all different kinds of drones. If you're a Mavic pilot, if you're a Phantom 4 Pro pilot, if you're a unique kind of guy, then guess what? They've got the right adapter for you. Now, I use this battery myself. This is not even like an endorsed spot. Like, I actually use this battery all the time. I have one in my car right now. In fact, I should probably actually charge it up because I use it so much.
Yeah, you do have to charge them.
I do. But check out myenergen.com and pick up one of those batteries. And then if you use the code... for the M10, it's Drone U M10. If you're trying to get the A40, which is the one I recommend, Drone U A40 is your discount code. And if you want the P40 because you're positively a Phantom pilot, then check out discount code Drone U P40. But anyway, myenergen.com, I think you guys will really find their products useful. I personally use them all the time when we fly stadiums. And even in stadiums, you'd think there's a lot of power. But when, you know, if we had to run up and down the mm-hmm. the seats to charge all the time, we wouldn't be able to fly a stadium in the allotted time that we have. So
that's a tight window, getting those things done.
It is a tight window, actually. So I've got a couple more coming up, about seven coming up. That's why I mentioned South Carolina. We got two in South Carolina, and it would be cool to do a mapping class and map those stadiums. So maybe what we should just do is a mapping class everywhere that we have to do a stadium.
Why not?
That would include...
It would actually be cool. I don't know if it's possible to do it at the stadium. It's probably not possible.
Yeah. Security stuff.
Security stuff.
Sorry,
plus,
guys.
You got to get the work done.
Yeah, I would never get the work done. Anyway, all right. Well, let's go ahead and play that funky question.
Hey, guys. I love the show. I love the information on your website. Can you guys recommend a drone for use in law enforcement, preferably someplace where it's kind of a wet and rainy climate? Kind of like, I don't know, Washington State. Anyway, let me know. Thanks again, and love the show. Bye, guys.
Homie.
Homie.
All right, Rob. Tell us what drone to use.
Tell us what... I always default to the Phantom 4 Pro.
That's actually a solid choice.
You got a pretty good chance of being right when you throw out the Phantom 4 Pro.
You actually do have like a 60% chance of just being right on that. I will say, though... before we answer his question on flying in rainy environments, if you are in public safety, so if you are a police officer, men in blue, or you are a firefighter, and you are working in these types of environments, it is really imperative that you get some sort of, and I'm not even sure it's exemptable, but I think it'd be worth a try. I've actually heard of public safety agencies getting exemptions for things that people have said you can't get exemptions for. So I think it's totally worth a try. But what am I talking about? You normally need 3 statute miles of visibility in order to fly. So if you are in a rainy, foggy environment, chances are that you are not going to have 3 miles of visibility. So if you are in public safety, it would be wise to probably go after a COA to fly in, say, conditions where maybe you have 1 mile of visibility. I wouldn't recommend anything below that, as I think you're getting in the danger zone. Cue the danger zone music. Highway to the danger zone. Anyway, all right, that was horrible. I won't quit my day job, don't worry. But if you are in public safety, you're a police officer, you are a firefighter, there is a new drone out there that does what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to see through a new perspective. I'm not talking about drones. I'm talking about thermal. But also, you're going to want to be able to fly kind of far away from things so you don't pose a risk, but you're going to want to be able to see really up close. Now, it was funny. I was listening to the NTSB presentation at DJI Airworks, and he was talking about mapping crime scenes and or accident scenes. And one thing he was talking about was flying this this train derailment, and how he had to fly really close to get some of the detail in the models and whatnot.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I can't wait for a zoom camera so that I don't have to fly as close. And I just wanted to be like raising my hand, like, they're only 2 megapixels. They're only 2 megapixels. Like,
so it's not going to work.
Not going to help you, bud.
Yeah.
And learning to fly close is important. Like, you have got to be a good pilot, whether it's for cinematography or videography or photography or photogrammetry. Mm-hmm. You have to be a good pilot. Something I talk about in my book, Living the Drone Life. If you haven't picked that up, or you have a friend who's getting into the drone life, make sure you pick up a copy of that book. Just go to Amazon and search Living the Drone Life, and you will find it. But it's something I talk about in my book. And going back to the best drone, you know, if he were to have something like a DJI M210 drone, something that that we'll be getting here very soon, yeah, he would have the ability to have extreme zoom with a Z30 camera.
Mm-hmm.
It's about $89.99. And if he had a FLIR XT camera, then he would be able to see thermal and extreme zoom at the same time. Now, I heard someone mentioning that their drone was drifting and they noticed it with their zoom camera.
Hmm.
Something I think is really, really important for people to understand is that when you are zooming in that far and you're flying, every single movement in the drone is exaggerated 100-fold.
Yeah.
So even if you believe that you're planted in the sky and you don't have the RTK version, your drone will drift a little bit. It is normal. And the fact of the matter is the camera is really going to show that. So one thing that I think is really important to understand too is that if you do get an RTK M210, it is great for position hold, it is great for information, but if you are into photogrammetry, from what I have been told, and we will do tests on this to confirm or deny it, but from what I have been told, the RTK GPS does not translate that information into the metadata of the photos. So the benefit of RTK is extremely limited, which is, I think, something really important for people to know. Did you just put this 5-inch hair on me here, Rob? Like, that's not a Sarah hair. That thing's only like, you're that's a Jana me. Hair.
Came from my head.
Literally, that was like a 5-inch blonde hair. All right.
Jana's hair is longer than that, actually. However, let's get back to...
Sorry, distracted.
The point at hand. So are you suggesting that it makes sense for a police department, for example, to spend whatever it would take to get the M210 outfitted the way you've described?
So we're talking a significant amount of money. Actually, the drone that I just mentioned costs more than my brand new Expedition. And I like my Expedition more.
Yeah,
just saying. The endurance is a little bit longer.
Probably get a little more use out of it, practically speaking. But that is a lot of money for a department to come up with. Obviously, they can budget for it, but sometimes they need to plan years in advance for these kinds of budgetary
items.
Which
is normal. I mean, research that we've done shows that you need about 18 months of lead time. And if you're just starting out now, I think having that lead time for the department to come up with that money would be beneficial. But also, I mean, let's say a police helicopter bump flight is $2,000 an hour. If they just nixed 15 hours of flying the helicopter, boom, drone paid for.
Wow, that was easy.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yep. Budgetary analysis by Paul 101.
So what about, he mentioned rainy weather specifically. So I'm going to throw this out. There's the splash drone.
Splash drone is
probably
good for
not...
deploying parachutes.
Okay, so probably. Well,
actually, for life preservers, excuse me.
All right.
But the splash drone is waterproof. But the M210 is also IP43 rated. But I'll be honest with you guys. You can fly the Phantom in like drizzling weather. Again, that's under the circumstances. Like here in New Mexico, it could literally be raining and you can see for 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on where you live. 3 statute miles of visibility is so important. And one thing that I really want to get across with our public safety training program is making police officers and firefighters truly understand the limitations of flight. Because I've run into so many people who just have not done the deep dive into this. And they really don't understand what is legal and what isn't. And
sure,
it's just frustrating, you know? But, you know, it's also an opportunity for me to pat them on the back and be like, I love that you're using drones to help people.
Well, what we found is it's good for these departments to have a front man, somebody like Buzz, who puts in the time.
Or Trent. Oh, he's going to love it. I just said his name on the show.
Or Trent. But somebody who's willing to put in the time to learn all the rules and do the COAs and do everything that they need to be a compliant department.
From the Mansfield Police Department in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool dude.
Yeah, we're going to see him this weekend, so that's cool.
Oh, really?
Aren't we?
Are we?
Am I thinking of a different Josh?
That's Josh Baker from Texas. He's even cooler.
Oh, wow. Sorry, first Josh.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No, they're both equally cool.
Like 9.9 and 10.
Yeah. this is like the Olympics. It's like 9.875. I'm just kidding. but what Josh from the Mansfield Police Department, I believe it's Josh from the Mansfield Police Department, what he did was really cool as far as Hurricane Harvey and what they did. Mm. But anyway, moving forward, one thing, if your police department does not have the funding to drop anywhere from 20 to 30 G's on a drone, and you don't have that type of lead time, you know, again, you would be shocked at how good a Phantom 4 Pro really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can really be beneficial to people. It's just like, and what I like about it too is it forces people to learn how to fly well. Instead of sitting at 400 feet in the air and zooming in 300 millimeters and then like, you know, just wiggling the camera like an inch this way, an inch that way. Because like literally that's what's going to be like for most of these police officers the first time they fly that camera.
Right.
If you fly a Phantom 4 Pro, you have to learn how to fly around things. You have to learn how to, you know, look for obstacles when you get to a scene and look for, you know, Where are power lines? What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. There are payload deployment systems for Phantoms. You know, it can't really hold much, but it's just such a versatile machine. Batteries are not that expensive. You know, if you're using it for accident scene mapping, perfect drone for that. Guess what drone the NTSB uses for accident scene mapping?
Phantom 4 Pro.
Phantom 4 Pro.
Is that right?
Yep.
Even in the midst of all the
privacy
things.
There's no privacy issues with mapping crime scenes, really.
Well?
Unless you're like, okay, well, I mean, I shouldn't have said that. That's a hairy subject to get into.
Okay, let's just pretend that didn't come up. What about the unique?
That's actually another fantastic option. A little bit more settings you got to do, but what I love about the unique is that it's got its own mapping pilot software, and it's more stable. And it flies just as long, if not a little bit longer.
It's a little bit more money. So again,
it is a little bit more money, but it's also, it can handle. So one of the issues with the Phantom 4 Pro and doing photogrammetry, especially with accident scene mapping or doing what we call disaster management pre-planning, which is where you go out and you map these different areas of town where you have a lot of crime. So your guys have a very acute understanding of where they're going into and how to navigate those areas. What I like about the unique is that it can handle higher windage. It can handle more adverse weather conditions and scenarios.
Right.
So it is the same sensor, just a newer model and version of the Phantom 4 Pro, but you have a lot more stability. Two things I would like to see out of the unique over the Phantom 4 Pro. I would like to see the unique's capture button at the top of the remote, not inside where you've got to take your thumb off the stick and go inside to the remote to hit the capture button. And I told Unique about
Very
that.
Very practical.
And then the other thing that I would like to see is a higher dB gain antenna. So its range is good. It's, in fact, its range for most people is fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. Its range for doing larger mapping jobs is limited. So like you really have to be line of sight with that thing. With OcuSync and the Phantom 4 Pro, you've got a little bit more flexibility in where you are in position to the drone.
Yeah, and in public safety, you might find yourself needing that extra range.
Yes.
I mean, there might be scenarios in which you've got to...
And by the way, guys, I'm not talking about beyond visual line of sight here. I'm just talking about, you know, if you're behind a bunch of squad cars with a bunch of interference, you may have an issue with Unique. The Phantom, you could still have an issue, but as long as you put the remote essentially like above the cars, you'd be fine.
Right.
So it's just the Unique remote is a little bit more sensitive. But the upside is with Unique, you can fly more adverse situations.
Right.
And also, yeah, you have just way more control of the camera. So like, yeah, I don't know. There are a lot of really cool things you can do with the Unique that you can't do on a Phantom 4 Pro. So there are advantages for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it sounds like really it kind of comes down, I suppose, to budgetary constraints as far as the department is concerned, because they're all good options.
There are.
I don't know if it's a progression necessarily from P4 Pro to Unique to M210. I guess it kind of depends on what they're going to be using it for and that kind of stuff. There's just a lot to talk about as it relates to that, but they're all good options.
True.
It's kind of the bottom line.
And yeah, if I was a department, I would buy like 3 Phantom 3 standards and just teach people how to, or 3 Phantom 3 Pros, actually, not standards, because the standards work on Wi-Fi and that's some BS. So
I had none of that BS.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Anyway, but yeah, that's what I would do, because I think it's important for everyone to learn how to fly on a cheap machine that they can crash a bunch and not worry about it and not be thinking about it, because I feel that sometimes pilots' biggest obstacles are themselves.
Indeed.
Yeah. Got to use that.
It's all up here.
Got to use that, Brian.
That's right.
So anyway, I think that's going to do it for us today, guys. If you're interested in learning how to fly much better, then you've got to check out one of the 25 different courses that are available to members. Would you like exclusive access to those classes? Then just check out thedroneu.com and sign up to become a member, because it will be the best $47 you've ever spent in your whole life. Think about this. Would you rather pay for your wife's mani-pedi or learn how to fly better? Either she gets the emotional pleasure or you do. Your choice. That's a dangerous thing to
I'm
say.
I'm going wife.
Yeah,
just
right.
For the record.
That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
This is Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.